Hi everyone, welcome to the Synergy Traders event number 22. We're going to be talking about VIX and news event trading today. And we have arranged for 8 great presentations for you today. So we're going to be talking with the Option Professor first. Then we also have Eric Gebhardt, John Nayarati, Pro Trader Mike, Samantha LeDuc, Kyle Kinney, Carly Gardner, and Anka Metcalf throughout the day today. So thank you for joining us. And I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to the Option Professor.
Okay, great. Thank you, David. And welcome to everybody. It's going to be a good long day of information for you to feed upon. So that's great. Quick background of myself, Option Professor. I have graduated of Boston College and took a executive management courses at UCLA way back in the day. And I've been in the investment arena here for many decades. So I have seen and done quite a bit of business in all different types of investments, from the stock market to the commodity market to the bond market, etc. So I'm very familiar with things, especially in the option area. And today I'm going to give you some of my insights, some of my views, some of my observations, some of my opinions. So obviously that's what I'm going to be sharing with you, opinions and observations. Volatility and news is the key operatives today. So again, when you're dealing with options, obviously volatility is very important. I'll start out by talking about volatility. Then I'm going to go give you what's going on with regards to the markets right now, in my view. And again, the Option Professor does have a weekly newsletter, market update that's sent out free of charge to all subscribers. And they get to get an update on the stock market, the bond market, the currency market, the gold and silver market, the oil market, and the U.S. dollar. And of course, things like coffee, sugar, and soybeans that I've been following. So you get a wide variety of information free of charge once a week, and we give you a nice update on things. And in my view, we've been very, very accurate on things. And we've also given some very good insight on what ETFs could be used to take advantage of different things. So at the end of the broadcast, I'll tell you how to get on that one. Starting out with the VIX, okay? The VIX, obviously, very important thing in options and all trading, actually. You can see I'm giving you a 20-year graph, so you can put in perspective how things can get pretty hairy. Right here, we are in 2007, 2008. So, you know, when you have a crash, you're going to go crazy on the upside. You know, these are my views and my opinions on the VIX. When it's above 30, I don't think you want to be shorting volatility too much until you have some evidence that the volatility has subsided. Because people who get wiped out by selling volatility, it's because when it breaks above 20 and 25, they don't recognize the risk. And then you get a spike up like this. And if you don't cover your short positions, it can get very, very expensive and wipe you out pretty quickly. You can see here in other years where we've had some good spikes. 2012, big spike up there. We got another spike up here in 2016. You remember 2018 when we lost 25% on the S&P in the fourth quarter of 2018. There's another spike. And then, of course, the mother of all spikes actually didn't even take out the highs of the great financial crisis, but we went up towards 85 and then we're back down here. One thing you're noticing though is that it has had an inability to get under 20 ever since the crash in March. And that inability to get under 20 has kept a lot of money on the sideline. What do I mean by that? It means that a lot of large amounts of money don't want to get involved in the market if it's going to be tremendously volatile. And the volatility index maintaining above 20 and really above 25 indicates that it could spike up at any point. And if it does that, people with large amounts of money don't want to have their equity all over the place. So you can see that until we start breaking under 20, it may be difficult to get a lot of the sideline money to come into the market. And so that has been the case, I think. And basically, that's what's going on right now. The VIX is in the 28 area now. So this is giving you a 20-year perspective on how the VIX can go crazy on the upside once it gets above 25 and 30. Very dangerous above 25 or 30. That's when you get your spikes. So obviously, if you're writing the options, you know, you would like to see volatility down so the premiums will shrink, right? So obviously, you would like to see the volatility much more in the 10 to 20 range, because during this period of time, outside of the 2018 spike, it was fairly orderly. And that means the option premiums are probably shrinking pretty good on the index option. But you get the spike, you got to be careful. Okay, so what's my view on the VIX right now? My VIX is that it's elevated still, and that if something happens to make the market break under 3,400, 3,350, you could get a big spike in the VIX, and that could happen in the next 30 to 60 days. Between now and the end of the year, again, what we talked about in the summer was that the S&P was going to be volatile and dangerous in September, October, November. Well, in September, we went from 3,600 almost down to 3,200, so that was pretty accurate, right? And then in this month, we've come right back up towards 3,550, and now it's in the process possibly of going back down again. So we'll have to see. Let's go over to the S&P, and I'll show you a little bit about what's going on. Before we leave, let's look at the shorter term here. On a one-year graph, what's the VIX look like? Notice the blue line is still under the value, and so the surprise can still be to the upside on the VIX. If that's the case, you're going to get a correction. Okay, next one is 6 month, and there you go. The VIX is still very healthily above the moving average, and ergo, the surprises tend to be to the area where the moving averages are going. So even when the VIX comes down here towards 24, you can see the surprise is still back up. Surprise is still back up. We haven't seen too many surprises under 25, right? Which is telling me what? That, that there's still danger for a correction. We'll show you real short term here on the 5 day. And on the 5 day, it's deteriorating a bit. Two things are going on right now on the S&P. It's holding 3420 pretty good. And that's a big number because that was the high point of mid-September. So if you're bullish, that's a good thing. And the VIX is having a hard time getting and staying above 30. So far, that's a good thing. So on a short-term basis, if you're bullish, those are two things to hold your hat onto. 3420, we start blowing that out on the downside. You start getting that VIX above 30, and I'd put my raincoat on because it looks like it's going to start raining. And we got a lot of earnings coming out, right? So if these earnings are buy the rumor, sell the fact, then you're going to get the correction we're talking about. We had that obviously with Kimberly Clark today. We had that also on Fastly. We also had it on Chipotle. And so, it has been happening, not across the board. All right. So let's put the S&P up here and see what the tea leaves look like. And I'll tell you what we've been suggesting people to do. We believe that and we established this in the summer, that the fourth quarter was going to be a trading range of 3550, 3100. Okay. We obviously have tested the 3500 area, 3550, but we haven't tested the 3100. We went as low as about 3200. Pretty close, but not all the way. With regards to right now, we're at 3434 and it's holding the 3420. You see the 3420? That's where the moving average is on the, what chart are we looking at here? The 5 day. So, we came down. This was the overnight market. The overnight market was much weaker than the day market. So in the day market, we've been holding that 3420. And you see the moving averages are all converging there. So you don't want to break underneath that. If you do, I think, that's a cause of caution. If you start blowing out 3400, then I think you got full yellow flags out there. Again, let's look at RSI. RSI is above 50 on the 5 day. So on the short term, it's holding 3420. We saw the VIX was shrinking down and we can see that the RSI is above 50. So it's trying to turn around and it could have a rally. If these reports next week on the FANG stocks come out and they're quite positive and they're beyond expectations and they're not factored in, then that's how a rally could occur. We're in a bull market. Okay. We're in a bull market. We've been in a bull market ever since we bottomed out and went above 2,800. 2,800, in my view, was the number to turn us into a bull market. So we've done that and we've been in a bull market. Now you're getting pullbacks is what happens in a bull market. And what do they tell you to do with pullbacks in a bull market? They tell you to buy. Okay. I'll tell you where our focus is though, because tech has had a very big run. Consumer discretionary has a very big run. Semiconductors have had a very big run. So is it possible they could slow down? And is it possible there could be a rotation into some things that have not had big runs that so far have not taken out their 52-week highs? I say yes. So here we go. There's your S&P. And let's go look at it on the last 6 months. Okay, you can see on a six-month basis here that it is holding on to the 3,400. And if it can do that, then you can remain in a positive note. But if you start, it's having trouble where the moving average is here, which is what, 3,440. So let's see if it can clear that. If it can't and it starts closing under 3,400, look at the VIX, RSI. RSI is right at 53. So if you blow out 3,400, 3,350, and then you start taking the VIX under 50, I say you got to get ready for some selling activity. When we were up here recently, just like when we were up here before in September, this is a neighborhood where we suggest people sell calls. What does that mean? That means you're going to sell the right to buy your stock above the current price, and you're going to get paid a fat premium if you do it when the markets are high. And then basically, you can either just keep the premium if the market goes down, or you can obviously buy back the call if it starts going up and you feel like you've made a mistake. You can buy back the call, or you can roll up the call where you buy back a call and you sell the higher strike. I'll go over that a little bit in more detail. But I'm just just trying to tell you, when you're at these points up here, which is called the higher end of the range, you want to be selling your calls, or you want to be selling calls and buying puts to protect your principal. I'll get into that in a little bit again. But again, that's where you want to be, okay? You don't want to do it after it drops. After it drops, you're agreeing to sell your stock, and it's not at a good price any longer. It's at a lower price, right? And what do you think the premiums are calls when it goes from here down to here? The calls are going to be shrinking. Your strike price is going to be lower. It's not a great deal. Prices up here, your strike price is going to be high. The premiums are going to be high. That's a good deal, okay? All right. So anyway, that's where the S&P is right now. And you can see very clear. You start breaking under 3,400, 3,350, and you get this RSI breaking under 50, I think you're going to have some trouble. So there's your lines in the sand right around here, this neighborhood here. And today, closing above 3,440, which is the 15-day, would be positive. And certainly getting above that former high right here, which is 3,460, would be even better. So there's a couple of numbers on the upside. Close above 3,440, close above 3,460. Looks like you're back on the bicycle. Again, so we're in a tight range. I mean, we're, 10 days, 15, 12 days away from the election. We got the stimulus package. Maybe it's going to go through. Maybe it's not. We got the virus coming back. But, you know, now everyone's focusing on deaths rather than just cases. And with the therapeutics and the vaccine coming down the pike, maybe even with higher cases, we can come out okay. Hey, the guys that are bullish basically feel what? The virus is going to come back, but it's not going to be as deadly or as devastating. And it's not going to change consumer behavior as much as it did the first time. They also think the stimulus package is going to come down the pike. And if Biden gets in there, it could even be bigger. And so we got a stimulus thing coming up. And they are looking for normalcy to come back in over the next 6 months. Okay. That's the bullish camp. And that leads you to higher prices in the stock market. What's the risk? The risk is the stimulus doesn't go through and it's not a big enough number. It's delayed for months, doesn't come in. The virus is much more deadly than people anticipate. And we have paid forward so much as far as, front running all the demand that, you know, the driveways are full. So the car sales are going to dry up. The houses are all getting filled up with furniture. So that, durable goods is going to start drying up. And we saw housing applications for loans is drying up a bit. The unemployment rate is still stubbornly high. And despite a little bit of better number on claims today, they're still way higher than they've ever been. So, you know, there's a lot of risk out there to the forecast. I think the forecast makes more sense for 2021. I just think, like we've been telling you, September, October, November could be a very rough racket for stocks because some of these things in the short run could affect and of course the election if it's contested and we go to the Supreme Court and all that crazy stuff. So that's why you got to be careful about getting too aggressive right here before all these factors are a little bit more settled. Again, the time frame of September, October, November was the ones that we talked about, and so far so good as far as being very volatile and somewhat dangerous. So you wouldn't want to be loading up on stocks here until some of these things are resolved a bit. You want to be a little bit cautious. And if you have some powder dry and we got a nice drop down here towards the, 2,900, 3,000, 3,100 on a shock down, if you have dry powder, you know, that might not be a bad place to take a shot. Because let me show you what the long term looks like. This is a 20-year view. Now look, you see where I said 2,800 was the key number. Once we got above 2,800 back in April, that was your green light because you got back on the bicycle. Look at that trend line. I mean, come on. All you got to do is get on the trend, right? Trend started up in about what, 2010, 2011, and it's been riding going all the way. Even the big drop in 16 didn't violate it. Even the big drop in 2018 didn't violate it. The crash violated it, but only for a month. So there's your trend. And now you have a high point surrounded by two or low high point. Anybody who knows technical analysis would know that you could start selling it and defend it against 3,600. That's why I'm telling people that this is where you should be selling your calls up against this number. And if it breaks 3,600, you still got the underlying stock, buy your call back. But the bottom line is this is a high surrounded by lower highs on a monthly basis. And that can be a time where you get a turnaround. Here you had one around here, big drop. Here you had coming here, boom. You know, here you got a high surrounded by lower highs there, big boom. So, you know, we're not just, whistling, fear for fear itself. You got a technical formation that would indicate exhaustion. You're way overbought. Look at the averages. They're way the heck down here. Even if you go to the first one's at 3,109. If you blow out 3,200, it'll go there. And then your other ones underneath are 2,954 and 2,816. So there you go. You got three potential correction points. If we start taking out 3,400, 3,300, and if you take out 3,200, those are your lines in the sand, okay? And if you were to do that, the most likely time frame in our view would be September, October, November. Because as we go into the end of the year, the emphasis is going to be going from what? From how tough it's been in this fourth quarter to what? The comparisons in Q1 and Q2 next year are going to be a slam dunk because you know the numbers fell off a cliff this year. year in Q1 when we had the crash, and Q2 when the crash aftermath was going on. So comparisons on earnings in Q1 and Q2 for next year is going to be fabulous. So that's why this is a good buying opportunity in our view, just not at 3,600. The other thing is I don't care if you're Kalanovic over at JP Morgan or Tom Lee at Fundstrat or some of the other sharp guys, Mike Wilson over at Morgan Stanley, sharp guys who definitely called the turnaround. They also have targets of 3,500 to 3,600 for the year. Well, we already hit that. So how much potential can you have if you've already hit their target? That's my view. That's our view. Okay. So that's where your hedging tactics come in. Okay. So I'll give you a little idea there on the S&P. And then I'd also like to look at the Dow Transports, because that was a good thing that made a new high. It took a long time because the former high was in the 2018 timeframe, but it did come up and make a new high. And I just wanted to show you that. These are just some of the things that I look at over time that have been somewhat effective for us. So here's your Dow Jones Transports. This would be, you know, your FedExes, your UPSs, you know, things that are your railroads, you know, things that are moving. Obviously, these guys made a big hit because of e-commerce, right? E-commerce is great, but it still has to be delivered, right? So it has to be delivered by who? By the guys in the transportation average, right? Okay, but this is what concerns me a bit. You see how we've made a brand new high up here, and you can see where these RSIs used to be. RSI was way here at 84 at this high, and then we made another high up here, and the RSI was at 74, and now we just made another high up here, and the RSI is only at 61, okay? That is called a divergence, and a divergence makes me nervous because it means that up here, the volume, the commitment, strength of the move is weaker, which could mean short covering. It could mean volumes drying up. And if those are the two factors and this market starts rolling over, then you're going to have a problem. Now, this thing made a high at 12,000 just this month. And in fact, it might have been this week. And it's already down in the 11,700 range, which means it's already pulled back 300 points in a couple of days. And that is concerning. Okay. So if in the month of November, we do not take out the 12,000, then you'll have a formation of a high surrounded by lower highs. And look where the moving averages are all converging at 10,000. So you're 2,000 points above the moving averages. That's called overbought in my view. And then, of course, the divergence makes me nervous as well. So the bottom line is that something that is a concern right now? On the short term. All right. Let's talk about news, because what you want to do here is you want to talk about earnings, because that's the big news coming out, right? So today we had Kimberly Clark come out, and they didn't exactly deliver the goods. So was there anything that was showed up in Kimberly Clark before the announcement that would have indicated you could have a sell position and make some money? Well, let's take a look. This is a 20-year graph, and as just like the transports, you have a high up there, and now you're getting some lower highs, just like the S&P, 3,600 surrounded by lower highs. And look what happens sometimes. You're going back towards the mean. The mean are the moving averages, okay? RSI is still above 50, so this is a correction that may be resolved by stopping anywhere between here and 130 area, ballpark, and then going back up. But let's see on a shorter term basis if it gave you any clues. Like, did it already roll over here? Let's see. This is a 6-month graph. Yeah, you already got a little sell signal up here when it was at 152. So you should have been out of this thing at 152 or short. And then obviously people were anticipating not a very good report, and this thing went all the way down to 136. So how do you play the news? Well, if it's already rolling over, then obviously people with a lot more money than you, who've done a lot more research than you, have already started to sell. Maybe they've already done the homework. Maybe they got an idea of what these things are going to come out at. And the valuations, you know, let's not kid ourselves. Valuations are off the charts. Why? Because interest rates are low, but interest rates are now rising a bit. We've had a very significant jump percentage-wise on the 10-year yield. It's only at 0.8 or something, but it used to be 0.5. That's almost a what? 70% jump in yield in the last few months. I'll get into that in a second. But, evaluations can be affected if yields change. And there is some who believe, like us, that yields are rising and have been rising since March and will continue to do so. Okay, so we're talking about longer-term yields, particularly duration. Anyway, so there you go. You got a nice big drop there, and you got a nice warning sign around. Now, let's go on a shorter leash. How about on a one-month graph? Where'd you get the sell? You got the sell about the same time. So, you know, it's 152. You know, the thing went to 155. So you got the sell area at 152. That's not giving up very much. And if you got the sell and did something about it, okay, now you're not in the soup. Now, let's talk about hedging so you get a little idea of what I'm talking about. If you believe we are getting to a point up here where it's one high, two high, that's called a triple top at 155, and then you start getting underneath the short-term moving average, which is the red line, then you're getting this situation, and you've already seen a big move. Let's go back 6 months and see how far it card came up. See, this is what you got to do to when you're managing your money, if you're trying to protect it. Okay, during the drop, oh, let's go all the way back a little further. I guess we're more than six months away from that drop. Hard to believe, but it is. Time goes on. All right, so you drop down to 110. It ran all the way up to 160. This is a paper company, you know, toilet paper and that kind of stuff. We're looking at what? $50 move. That's a 50% move almost since March. And it hit 160, came down, couldn't take it out, got under the red lines. You're notified that the thing's rolling over. So what do? You see the 160 is the high point. So you can either sell 160 calls, or if you'd like, you can move your strike price up to 165. You sell those calls and you receive cash. So at least you've generated some cash against your account to offset some of the drop. But you didn't offset this kind of a drop. What you want to do to protect your principal is you want to be selling the 165 calls or the 160s, and then you buy them back if it gets above 160 and take your lump. Don't forget, you still own the stock. So the lump you're going to take is offset to a degree by the underlying stock. So what do? You sell the 160, 165 call, you take that money, and then you buy the 150 put. Okay, so you're selling 160, 165, and you're buying 150 puts. Or if you sold 150, 150, 2.5 puts. So now you got the right to sell the stock up here at 150. So when it drops down here to 136, 139, you got the right to sell at 150. So you don't lose anything underneath that, because if you do a wash, meaning you sell for $5 and buy for $5, meaning the call pays for the put, you got no cash in there except for your premium, and ergo, you got full protection until it expires at the 150 mark, or whatever strike you've chosen, 150, 250, whatever, okay? So that's what a caller's called. Sell the call, take the premium, buy the put. You think the guys who did that feel better than the guys who were in there hoping that it doesn't drop any further? I think they feel very good, okay? So that's an example of protecting your principal and also bringing cash flow into the account to pay for your insurance. That's an example of Kimberly Clark. Let's look at Chipotle. They had a fabulous quarter. Not the Canadian National Bank. I said Chipotle. Chipotle. There you go. All right. So Chipotle. Let's see how that's doing today. Yeah, it's down $86. Now, come on. Let's see what you could have done here. We go to the 3-month graph. You know, you're obviously watching it closely. Where did you get a signal here soon? What about the 1-month graph? You know, obviously the shorter term graph, the tighter it's going to be to give you the signal. Okay. And if you own something that has gone from, let's just say in the last year, if you own something that has gone from $400 to $1,200, $1,300, that's a 300% gain. You might want to start protecting some of those gains, because I've been to Chipotle. It seems like a very nice place, but the trees don't grow to the sky, and you've got a double top here right around the 1400 mark. You had a high point, you come down and you come up, you can't take out the high. 1400 is your line in the sand, and once it got under right here, which is 1300, you were, you know, indicating then of a breakdown. Now the thing's trading at 1283, but that's on a 1-year basis. On a 1-month basis, you got the indication at 1350. Okay, so 1350 from 1283, you would have offset 70 of the 83 points. That's not bad. Again, so what do you do in this environment? You do what? You sell the call. It's 1370. You take the premium. You buy the put at 1340. And then when it drops, you have the right to sell at 1340 until it expires. That's protecting your equity at 1340. And everybody else's equity is at 1289. And it was as low as 1260. And today is as low as 1280. Okay, great company. A lot of online sales. You know, they got that little thing where all the people who've bought online and picking it up, that part of their business has done very, very well with the COVID. People are not going out, I don't think, to the 5-star restaurants, because either they're not open or they don't want to go dine with a mask and all the, cumbersome things that goes on now in restaurants. So that's why your McDonald's and your Chipotle's and your, Burger King's and your Domino's pizzas and all these guys are doing great, because that's where people are eating, obviously. Okay, so anyway, that's another example of news. You know, they're going to come out with earnings, and you know, it starts breaking underneath your number here, and then you take advantage of that and you go, listen, that red line is turning on us, it's very overbought, I'll hedge. If it comes out that it gets above 1370, I can either let them call it away from me at 1370, or I could buy back the call and just leave it at that, take a loss if you have to, or roll it up, buy back the third, say it jumped up to 1390 because the news was good. So you buy back the 1370 call, and what do you think the 1400 calls are going for? They're going to be huge. So you sell the 1400 call to try to make up the loss. It stays under 1400. You're still in the stock. And if you can keep the premium to offset the loss, you're flat. So that's basically what you're trying to do when you are doing collars. Okay. All right. Now let's look at Tesla. Tesla had good news, and I think it went up. Let's see what Tesla was showing you before it opened. Okay. Tesla on a 1-month basis, you know, it's obviously looking like this 470 is a high point so far. Today it tried to go up here a little bit. Where are we at here? The high today is 4434. But this thing up here is still in place, and that's at 445. So if this thing starts getting back under 420, there's a lot of air underneath it, right? And so this would be another one where you might want to hedge if it starts breaking under 420, and then using 440, or this mark right here, 445, as your strike price, because you're agreeing to sell at that point. And if it starts taking out 420, maybe that point's not going to get taken out. So you don't mind selling it at that point and take that premium and buy as whatever put you can underneath, just in case this thing is going to fall apart more than it is. More than it hasn't fallen apart. But if it is, that's something you could do. Because again, some people think 350 could be in the cards if the news changes. So you get underneath these averages here, which come in at 420, right? You start breaking 420 and then you break 400, then it opens up the door for a correction. And look at your RSI. It's under 50. Let's see where it is. It's right at 50. So if it starts breaking under 420, 400, it's going to turn the RSI down under 50. And that's not a good thing either. Again, right now, it looks like it's holding the support, okay? And it looks like it might take a run at the 465 and the 445. But let's see where it goes home. And if it goes home under 420 or 400, then I would dust off the collar strategy and give it a hard look. Because it's had great news on the report, and if it can't close stronger on it, and our belief that September, October, November is a rough racket for stocks, then obviously, you know, it could be a situation where this could roll over. But right now it is holding. Right now it is holding. So you can't, there's no evidence of it right now. All right. So there was Tesla. What else came out here? Yeah, we had Align. Yeah, Align. People can't go on trips. They can't go to fancy restaurants. They can't do a lot of things that they spend money on. So what have they done? The entertainment money has gone into what? Shopping. And they've shopped at the Home Depot, and they've shopped at getting furniture, and they've shopped at getting new houses, and they've shopped at new cars. And the other thing they've shopped out of, obviously, is getting their teeth straightened. And so basically, ALGN is called Align, and Align Technology is having a fabulous day. Well, let's see if there was any indication of the news going that way before it happened. I would bet there is. Let's find out. Yeah, this thing's up 32% today. But look, all the evidence was pointing up. There was no negative evidence here. Look at all the moving averages were there, right? Of course, it popped up huge, but the play was to, if you want to bet on the news, you would have bet up because there was no evidence of it turning over beforehand. Doesn't always work, but look at the 1 month. Yeah, this thing was above everything on a 1 month basis. So as long as it was above 330, it was a go. And of course, the news was much better than anticipated, but that's how it sometimes goes. And of course, if you take that thing where people are spending money to better themselves, better their house, better their car, better their teeth, understand? That's where they're spending money. Companies are spending money on the cloud so they can be more efficient, get rid of employees, use the cloud instead of people. That's what's happening. People are not going to go out and buy stuff. They'd rather just have it shipped to them. That's why the transports have done so well. There's no magic wand at UPS and FedEx that has changed the world. Their business has just gotten big because people are buying e-commerce and they're having it delivered. Not that complicated. Let's look at GM, see if there's anything going on there, because it was starting to look like it wanted to go someplace. But this is one of the big, it's still going good. Yeah, we got a signal on this thing down here at 31, and it's been a good friend to us, and it just made new highs, so it's looking pretty good. Now let's look at the RSI if there's a divergence here, and that might tell us something. Yeah, these highs here came in, and the RSI was at 82. Now we got a new high up here, and the RSI is down at 73. So you got a divergence, so you got to be a little bit careful. Starts breaking back under 36, it's getting a little bit away from its averages. But, they're talking about electric trucks and stuff like that, and people are hot to trot on that. Biden is talking about getting a whole bunch of these filling stations going across the country, which would be very positive for the electric vehicle. Right now, I went to the gas station and asked somebody what they were doing, how long it took to fill up their electric vehicle at the gas station. They said an hour and a half. I go, what do you do while you're getting it filled up? They said, we went to dinner there. As long as the situation's like that, you have to wonder how close we are to everybody using electric vehicles, because most people are not blocking off an hour and a half to fill up their cars. But GM does have a bid right now and look pretty good. I'd like to go around some of the sectors that I'm looking at now. One would be in the value sector, and the banks is one of them. So I'm going to go around the horn here before we run out of time and give you some ideas that I'm looking at. We're looking at Option Professor, looking at our opinions and our observations. Okay, Chase Manhattan, J.P. Morgan Chase. Okay, let's look at a 1 year graph. Okay, can you see this thing used to be up at 140 and then it goes down to 80 and it's been fooling around here between 90 and 105. If we can get this baby above 105 and the yield curve steepens, meaning we get that long rate up to 2% or better and we keep the interest rates in the bank at zero, now you got a spread. When they got a spread, they can make a lot more money. So the bottom line is a steepening yield curve, which we are seeing because the 5-year versus the 30-year yield curve, meaning the rate on the 5-year versus the 30-year, is at the highest level since 2016. What I've been saying, and the option professor has been saying in their weekly update, if you get the weekly update, you would know that we've been saying that the bonds are coming down in price, up in yield, and the yield curve will steepen. It'll steepen for one of two reasons or both. It'll steepen because the economy is going to come back very strong and people don't want to be holding 1% long-term bonds. They're going to dump them. Or inflation's going to come back because they're printing more currency than the world has paper. 44% of GDP is in the easing phase. That's almost 10 times what it was after the great financial crisis. So the printing presses are going ridiculously high. And again, the Fed is in there trying to support everything. That costs money. The unemployment rate is not going to be going down to 3% anytime soon. You've got structural unemployment, which means you'll have structural what? You're going to have structural stimulus because these people need to have money to live. Okay. So there you go. What's that going to mean? I think it's going to mean yields rising. And I think that it's already started and it could have more to follow. Doesn't have to go in a straight line. I'll show you in a second on the 10-year note. Well, in fact, let's look at it right now. This is the 30-year Treasury bond, which we've been screaming in our weekly newsletter, peaked out in March when everyone panicked in and the rates went to a ridiculously low level. Can you see here that we went up to 181, okay, on this particular instrument? And you can see that the prices have been doing what? Dropping like we've been talking about. Why are they dropping? Because yields are rising. Yields went down to like 1% or something like this on a 20-year. You're going to loan money to people for 1%. They don't owe you your money back for 20 years. They give you this paltry 1% a year and they run around with your principal. And then what are they going to pay you back in 20 years? They're going to pay you back in what? Dollars. What's the dollar going to be worth 20 years from now? Lord only knows. So anyway, that's why we're thinking the yield curve will steepen, and it has, and that's going to be helpful to the banks, in our view. It's also going to be helpful to Bank of America, which is another one, and it's going to be helpful to value in general. We're going to show you something here on that. This is a Vanguard Value ETF, and you can see here, just like the banks, because the banks are, you know, this has healthcare, banks, industrials, and materials as their four big things. Okay, so we already know healthcare can do fine because the cost of healthcare is going nowhere but up, it seems like. But can you see here? There's the 52-week highs. We're nowhere near them. And ergo, if it starts getting above 80, there's a lot of real estate here. I'll show you another one that we watch, which is a high dividend from Vanguard. There's plenty of them out there. I'm just citing these as examples. This thing pays, well over 3% dividend, way over 3% dividend. And that means you're getting paid 3% on your money while you're holding this stuff. You can see where it used to be up at 94, 96. And you can see it's trading around 82. So if it gets above 86, it's going to get going. Okay. So this is where we get paid to hold on to stuff. And we've got upside potential once two things happen. We get the vaccine going and we get the economy opened up. Both are supposed to happen in 2021. So that's where we're expecting to make the money in 2021. Okay. Now, the other stuff out there like growth and tech, you can look at Qs, and let's take a look at the Qs. Let's go back here and give me three Qs. And there we go. Now, you'll see the difference. And again, tech doesn't pay the dividends. And so our view also, and let's look at right now, it's having a little bit of a situation where it could hold here, okay? But if it breaks, take a look how overbought it is. This is a 20-year graph. Does that look overbought to you? You got a high point surrounded by two low points, and look how far away you are. So do I think tech is going to collapse? No, but it certainly could go down. And if it does go down, you know, because their earnings and things have been pulled forward, then you're going to have a correction here possibly. And if people want to come back in, those value stocks, Berkshire Hathaway, Disney, Intel, Merck, Pfizer, Cisco, Bank of America, Verizon, you know, they could be popular. Why? Because the sideline cash is earning no interest. So these guys want to get cash flow on their money. That's what dividends do. And the ones that I mentioned in value, they all got good dividends. And good dividends plus growth sounds like a good combination to us. So that's why we're interested. Buying the all-time high here in tech and hoping Zoom goes to $9 million. Let's see what Zoom's doing. I mean, they're good companies. There's no doubt about it. But is there a valuation where it's enough? I mean, you know, let's go back. Well, this thing hasn't been around that long. So let's go to a one-year graph. Yeah. So anyway, and let's look at the RSI's doing. Yeah, you got RSI here that peaked where? At 88 at that high. Then it made another new high. RSI was where? 76. And now we need a big high. And the RSI is hitting only like 75. So you got a, you know, bit of a divergence on the RSI. You got a high point surrounded by low points. So you could defend that point right there and say that that's the high until further notice. notice. And is there some, there is some corrective potential to it. But again, you know, it's a great company. There's a lot of great companies. Peloton's another one. But, you know, they all are benefits of what? The lockdown. If we're not going to have a lockdown, if we're going to have a vaccine, if we're going to have situations where people are out and about, maybe they don't want to sit in their house if they can move around, and they don't want to just sit there and ride a stationary bike, okay, and listen to some guy on the thing tell them how to run. So here you got 140, which is the line in the sand now. It is correcting as we speak. And basically, again, you had a very large increase in the price up here. RSI was here, and the RSI is now about the same way up here. So a little bit of a divergence, okay? But again, looking forward, that's where you got to look. Looking forward, these companies like Teladoc and Zoom and Peloton, et cetera, that benefited from a certain environment and obviously have run up through the roof, $10 to 140, certainly a good run. Are they in jeopardy if the winds have changed below in 2021, which is only, what, about eight weeks away? If the winds have changed below as far as the virus and our ability to be mobile, then you have to be concerned. And where would be more interesting? Again, I think the value that we talked about, Berkshire Hathaway is another one. Another area that we're looking like here is the industrials. I'm going to pop around in the last 10 minutes and just show you some stuff that I'm looking at here. We're looking at Option Professor and have been. Again, a lot of the stuff we look at pay good dividends. I like, you know, we like the idea of getting paid money to watch the stocks. Okay, again, not at their 52-week high, which is up here 160, 165. Certainly has come back up, but these are the companies, the industrials. They are from, Union Pacific Railroad, UPS, Honeywell, FedEx, 3M, Boeing, Deere, Caterpillar, Raytheon. That's what's in this stuff, okay? And, you know, again, we start breaking above 155. The trend still looks pretty good. What's RSI doing? Probably above 50. Yep, hanging above 50. That's good. When it's above 50, you tend to what? Be rallying. So you want that RSI, if you can, to stay above 50. Under 50, not so good. All right, so there's your industrial area. And then another area we've been looking at is the healthcare. There's a ETF here on healthcare. Now, again, that's been going. You know, that's been going. That's already had a good move. But HCA and Tenet, THC, and United Healthcare, and Abbott, ABT, the Amgen, AMGN, Thermo Fisher, TMO, AbbVie, ABBV, Medtronic, because a lot of these operations, which are elective, have been put off. Now they're not going to be put off. So here comes MEDT. So there is a reason that there could be some activity there. All of this stuff could be in jeopardy in the next 30 to 60 days if we're going to have a correction. But this is where I would be looking, and we would be suggesting you look during a pullback. Everybody seems to own Apple, so let's throw up there, and it will tell you exactly what we said in our weekly update. We said that that run-up on the pre-split was absolutely out of line. Like Leon Cooperman says, if I give you $5 and you give me five singles back, do I get any richer? And the answer is no. So obviously this run-up here was ridiculous, and ergo, you know, let's see if you got any kind of a sell signal here on a one-month basis before it dropped. Yeah, well, it even went higher than that. So let's go over on a three-month basis and see if it gave you any signal. Yeah, it gave you a signal, but a little bit later. You'd probably have to have a shorter-term signal, but it definitely broke down. Now it's come back up to 125, which is around these lows here, and now it's given it up a little bit. Our view is that it could go down into the 85 to 95 area, or 85 to a sub-100. I mean, they could try to take this out if, when they announce their earnings and stuff, if this, you know, 5G is not going to stick as much as people think, and if this recycling is not going to be as broad-based initially as it can be, because again, the valuation on this company used to be like 20 to 1 PE ratio. They've jumped it up towards 40 to 1 PE ratio, so it's very highly valued. Again, the tech sector could get hurt by yields rising, even if it's only somewhat, because of the valuations are stretched a bit, and they are based in part on the interest rates, and if the interest rate situation changes, it's going to have an effect on the valuations of tech, semiconductors, and some of the other ones that have been stretched. And a correction is not the end of the story, but it is a correction. And these things are prime for a correction if their earnings disappoint at all, if in fact the interest rate environment changes so their valuations would change, or if in fact we get a something with the virus that makes people, you know, freeze again or whatever. Who knows? But the bottom line is that rather than buying it at 125 and 135, we would rather see if we could get a better value on a correction. And that's basically how we would feel. Now, when Apple hit the 140 area and it was so far away from its moving average like this, I mean, look at the 20-year graph here. You'll get a better idea. Yeah, I mean, look at the moving averages here on Apple. I mean, mean, 60, 70, 80. You see how far it is from the averages? That's a high point surrounded by lower highs. I don't like the look of that. That's where you sell your calls at 170, you buy your puts at 130, and now you're protected on the way down. Sell your calls, take in the premium. If you have to buy it back, if it breaks 140, so be it. But you start buying puts, insurance. Why wouldn't you insure something that's gone from 40 to 130? You insure your house, you insure your life, you insure your car. You got a lot of insurance. Buy a little bit on these stocks from time to time. What's the worst case on any insurance? You lose the premium. Now, if you sell the calls to pay for the premium, then you're capping your risk at 140, and that's why you'd have to get out of that call if it starts breaking above there if you want to participate anymore. Again, you have to go to your brokerage firm. You got to work out the details. There's many factors that go into these strategies. So obviously, my suggestion is learn, and then act when you think it's appropriate based on all your circumstances, because each one of you have your own circumstances. Okay, let's pop around a little bit more and talk about something else. Now, this NVIDIA supposedly has got everything going for it. Consoles are coming up. You got PlayStation coming out from Sony, supposed to be a big deal. And these guys are involved in all kinds of stuff. And I think even the Bitcoin thing is helpful to these guys. So here you go. You're up there with a high point again, surrounded by lower highs. You're so far away from the moving averages, you need a telescope. And ergo, if anything changes with this company on the sell side, you think there's anybody up here who's long who'd want to take some profits? And if there's a reason to sell, you know the buyers will go on holiday. And this is the kind of deal where if people want to sell because of a reason and the buyers are on holiday and it's this far away from the moving averages, volatility could be quite high. This is where if the VIX starts getting above 30, then this is probably one of the stocks that's going to make it go from 30 to 40. All right. Other stuff going on, the metals. Okay. We've been a believer in the metals, but not lately because of the fact that we think they're in a trading range now because they've had such a big move. But we are thinking the dollar's going to go down. But as you can see, once you make a high point surrounded by lower highs, that's when you want to hedge. That's when you want to sell your calls and buy your puts. And that's where you're thinking it might pull back towards this 30 area. If it does that, much more interesting. If it blows out 45, then obviously the train's leaving the station. You reassess. Okay. But that's the gold miner. Those are the gold miners. An individual one that we've been following, and since it was single digits, Freeport McMoRan, thing looks great. Copper's doing great. And obviously Freeport McMoRan has been a great place to be. And if you look at a long-term graph, there could be a heck of a lot of potential ahead. If we're going to get an infrastructure bill, you got to figure copper's going to be used. So that's not a bad thing to look at. And today it's down a little bit. We like it as long as it stays above 14. We like 14 as our line in the sand. You can see the long-term average comes in at 13. So call 13, 14 would be places to trade against. And if it gets above 20 for whatever reason, there's a lot of real estate that it could have. But again, a little bit extended, could pull back. On any pullback into that neighborhood, we'd probably like it, unless something changes. All right, so there's your copper, there's your gold. Now let's talk about pot. Kronos, Tilray, how do they look? Well, this is MJ, it's Alternative Harvest. It's a ETF for pot. And then you are going to see that if we go back on a 6-month basis, that you're seeing a turn, I believe. Yes, you're seeing a turn. If we get above $12 on this thing, it looks very, very good. Where's your RSI? Your RSI is right at 50. So if this thing, you know, we already got the short-term average turning up, which is good, but we'd like to hold 11, obviously, if we could, and we'd love to take out 12. So those are your two lines in the sand. You take out 12, you're going to have good momentum, and you're going to have good RSI. So see if you get some momentum on that one and see what happens. Next one here is Bitcoin. You want to do Bitcoin? We looked at GBTC, something we've been positive on all year because it's gone from $5 up to 14. Now today it's having a pullback because it had a huge volume spike yesterday. But our belief is that it bottomed out here. You know, obviously if you go back to the 1-year graph, it's even easier to look at. And you can see it bottomed out here and turned positive. The blue line has been kind of going up all the time. And so it's been a positive deal. 15 could be some resistance. But look at the long-term graph and that'll give you an idea of what could happen if it starts breaking out. Let's go to 5-year. Yeah, this is the one that looks good to me. 5-year graph. If we can get above these neighborhood here, look at the RSI. So if you can get above that neighborhood there, that Bitcoin is something that for part of a portfolio might not be a bad thing. And this thing trades on the exchange. So at least you don't have to go through a wallet and some kind of a hard thing to figure out in order to do it. Last but not least here is your DraftKings. These millennials like to gamble. They don't like to talk to people. So this is right up their alley and they definitely like sports. So the bottom line is this thing right around the 40 mark was something that we wanted to take a good hard look at. And it could be an area 35, 40, where it could be in a good area. Because look at all the 30 to 40. This neighborhood here could be pretty good. Okay. So this neighborhood here is interesting.
Hey, Jim, right, sorry to cut you off, but we're running out of time here.
Okay. At the top of the hour. Okay, listen, thanks all everybody for listening. We certainly went over a lot of information, and you can get this information and more by just going to optionprofessor.com and then clicking in your information. And then every week you'll get the free weekly update on all the stuff that we're looking at. So it's a great deal, great information, and we hope that you go to optionprofessor.com and sign up. David, back to you. Sorry for going a